All right. So recording is in progress, and we are now moving into our session. And what I want to do here is I want to add some more time, just because we're getting a late start. All right. So what I'm going to do is I hear a little bit of background noise, but as long as there's no, I'm not going to worry about it because I don't want to lose you guys again. So if you want to hit, I believe it is, if you're on the line, if you hit, I think it's *6, you can mute yourself. And then when we do Q&A, if you hit *7, then we can talk. All right? So anyway, what I wanted to do was to just ask everyone how they were doing with last week's exercise, if there was any aha moments you had or anything that came up for you that you'd like to get a little support around. We can spend a couple of minutes working on that, and then we can move right into tonight's content. So if there's anything in particular that you want to ask me, if you want to type it into the chat, I will be more than happy to address those questions now. And, or again, it can be a question or it can be an aha moment. I know that Jonathan had written in and shared with me that it was an eye-opening experience for him, as did Ira. You know, it's interesting. The process of, like I said, jotting down what you're doing, what's happening, what you're bringing in, you know, it does bring up stuff. It brings up awareness about what's happening for you. It brings up, you know, it brings things to light. And, of course, that brings up sometimes uncomfortable feelings, but that's okay because once you become, you know, being in business really, truthfully, I heard someone say this many years ago, and I so believe it's true, that being in business for yourself is becoming comfortable with being uncomfortable. So you're going to have situations and things that come up for you that are going to it's going to push you. It's going to test you. And, you know, as we move even further into tonight's content and the coming weeks coming up, it's going to push you even further still. But I just felt that this is such an important conversation to have, and it's one that most people don't have because they focus exclusively on the marketing things to do and the actions and strategies, which we're all going to go into tonight. But if you're not really getting clear about those things that stop you, you can have all the information in the world, but you won't always do them, and those things show up. You know, it's really interesting. I was looking at some of the questions that came in or thoughts that came in, and one of you shared about how uncomfortable it was thinking about what you wanted and then actually having the money to spend it. You know, and that's really something that's important too, because again, we stay focused, some of us do, stay focused for so long on our needs and rarely our wants. That again, it just becomes almost like a foreign language to us. We're not sure. We're so used to being in quote unquote survival mode for so long that it just becomes second nature to us. And what happens is needs will only take you so far. This is my honest opinion about it. You know, we all need to pay the bills. We have rent, we have car payments and so on and so forth, but needs will only take us so far. When you focus on something that's bigger than you, something that you desire to have that's bigger than you, in my honest opinion, I think it grabs you and helps to pull you in a further direction than what just your needs will be. For the most part, we all have mastered the skill of creating what we need. But what happens with that is that we have what's called our money thermostat or our money set point, where we will allow ourselves to go only to that point where the need is met and the pain or the uncomfortableness for the moment is relieved. But what happens is that becomes a cycle where it's that you create enough to take care of the need and then the quote-unquote tension is gone. So then you start to retreat and pull back and not do things, take actions on things that can bring in more. And, you know, the one thing I really want to emphasize, especially as we're going into tonight's lesson, is that being in business for yourself, your number one skill that you must master, I don't care what you're selling, what you're offering, how long you've been in business, If you're just getting started, if you've been in business for many, many years, whether you're, you know, on the way to being a Fortune 500 company or you're just getting your, you know, your license to start your business today, you have to master sales. You have to master sales. You have to master sales conversations, and that's a part of the process. You have to master that because you, until you sell something to someone else that they say, I want to hire you, I want to work with you, you don't get to do the thing that you love to do or the thing that you enjoy doing that you make money with until someone says yes, that they'll pay you to do it. So if, you know, the number one thing I can stress beyond anything is to learn to become comfortable with those feelings that come up because it's just a part of the process. There are things that you can do to make it easier. There are things that you can do that will make it not quite as difficult as it is. As a matter of fact, I dare say that if you master these things, these skills we're going to be talking about, you actually may begin to become more comfortable to the point of actually looking forward to it because you'll see that the process of having conversations with people to ask them to work with you, to ask them to purchase your programs, your products, or services, whatever it is that you're doing, is you're not coming to them with hat in hand asking them to give you something that you don't deserve. And I think that that's where a lot of the tension comes up for us is because we feel on some level that we don't deserve to have what it is we're asking for. So there's almost this sense of shame that comes up when we're asking someone to work with us. And I have no doubt in my mind that every single one of you on this call, whether you're on this call live with me right now or whether you are listening to the replay later on, I have no doubt in my mind that all of you have probably sold to someone something that you are here to learn how to become better at doing, whether it's photography services, whether it's graphic design, whatever it is. I have no doubt in my mind that every single one of you have sold your service already to someone. They paid you, they loved what you did for them, and there are more people like them out there. So what I want you to remember that is when you are looking for your next people, to work with next, is to remember that if someone's bought this service from you before, then the likelihood is quite great that someone else will buy the same service from you in the future or some derivative thereof. And so it's really important that you remember that, you know, you're bringing something to people that they are looking for. Your job is to find out where they are, to find more like them, where they hang out, and how you can get yourself in front of them. And that's going to be what we're going to be talking about tonight, is how to find them, find more of the people that you have already probably worked with and where more of them hang out, so that you can make your presence known in front of them. And what I'd love to do is I'm going to actually move right into tonight's presentation because I've got a lot of content to share with you. But what I'd love to have you do in the Q&A, and I'm going to open up for questions at the end, is to just tell me, because I know what some of you do exactly. Some of you I'm not quite sure. Like I know what Jonathan does. I know what Susan does. Ira, I know, has written a book, and I know he's a commercial photographer, but I'd like to know very specifically what it is that you do, what you're currently selling and to who. So if you want to type it into the web chat, I would love to have that to look at as I go into Q&A a little bit later, and then I'll open up questions more for that in a moment. So let's move right into tonight's presentation, because tonight we're going to be talking about how to find and connect with buyers. So the slides should be loaded into the web browser there. I've just started that up. The first slide you should see there should say connecting to your buyer. I hope that you see that. I just want to make sure that it is there for you. And as I said before, if for some reason you can't see it, we're not going to worry about it. I will be giving you the presentation in the PDF presentation version of this later on. So tonight's module is on Module 2, Connecting to Your Buyers, and we're going to move right into it. So if you already don't know who I am, I'm your host for the next 4 weeks, Rodney Washington, and we're going to be talking about how to connect with buyers. Now, some of this you might want to take some notes down, but again, don't worry about it. I'm going to be giving you, again, this PDF presentation. I'm going to load it into the member area so you'll have it to look at later. So I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, and then I'm going to go back over certain points I want to cover. So the number one thing that we're going to be doing tonight is we want to really go deep in getting clear about our ideal customer or clients. We want to know who they are, where they are, what they want to buy, and then most important of all is how to get into conversation with them. And I know you might have seen exercises like this before. Maybe you've done them in the past where you tried to do an ideal customer profile. But I'll tell you, if you've kind of done it in the past or you haven't done it in a while, because I will share this with you right now, is that your customer profile, your customer base is changing. Even if you have a full roster of people right now or you're kind of in the midway through which you want to find more of them, the reality of it is that your customer base is changing, especially because of the economy. People's spending habits are shifting. The way that people are relating to products and services and relating to you is changing. And so I would go so far as to say that right now, especially because things are shifting so much globally in the economy, is that you actually take time to do this assessment work. I would go so far as to say almost every quarter. It's just good to keep checking in to see where you're at, where your buyers are at, and what they're looking for. It'll also help you to see where you need to update your skills and update your services or retool or repackage them in a way that will appeal to them. So this is something that I know some people say, you know, you should do. I highly recommend you do it. And if you are needing to bring in more people and you haven't been able to find enough clients lately or customers, that you do this almost quarterly until you get full. And then even then, you still want to keep checking in because, again, our spending habits have changed dramatically. I know many of you who are commercial photographers know that buyers are not buying the way they were even a year ago, let alone 5 or 10 years ago. And so it's really important that you stay on the forefront of where their heads are at, the buyers are at, the art buyers, even the end customers that they're servicing. You need to stay abreast of what they're looking for and what they're needing. Otherwise, you're going to fall out of the loop. And you may miss opportunities because you're not really doing that touch base one-on-one, what Selena and I spoke about on the preview call for this program, those informational programs. You're not asking for a sale per se at those conversations. You just want to find out more about what it is that they're needing so that you can better serve them. So what you want to do is you want to start really getting comfortable with that. Now, it's the first step in the sales process, and it's one that I really encourage all of you to do over the next week before we meet next week, is to make an active point of getting in touch with at least one person. I would prefer if you can get in touch with at least three people, preferably someone that you've already worked with or who has bought from you, and obviously that you had a good experience with. Obviously, if it was someone that the relationship ended on kind of a sour note, you wouldn't want to reach out to them, but you do want to reach out to people who you have worked with. And this is, again, I'm going to show you how to structure these conversations, but this is something that I want you to make. I want you to make a commitment to doing this over the next week because it's going to give you a lot of data that you can use that we'll bring into the next two modules of this program. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about your target market, how to define it. You're going to know what makes your product or service unique. You're going to get your get acquainted pitch down. And I'm going to give you some conversation starter templates, which you may already have access to on the webcast to download, and those can be customized, obviously, to your particular needs. And you're going to have an action plan to get started when you leave the session tonight. So let's get right into it. So, again, you want to really start focusing on that target market assessment. You want to get an inside snapshot of what people are looking for. It's important here that you really drill down and get very, very specific. with people and what's going on with them. So you don't want one-line answers. You don't want to get generic. You want to get really crystal clear. You want to know everything as much as you can find out from the types of publications that they read to the titles of those publications. You want to know if they travel, where are they going, the names of their favorite destinations, if they dine out, where are they dining. You won't have to have all this information before you can move forward, but I want you to start to tie in what I'm talking about here to your market. So for an example, I know that I believe it's Kim that does food photography. At least that's what I saw from the Facebook icon. I'm not sure if I'm wrong. Please type that into the web chat, Kim. But if you are working with the food industry, you want to know what kinds of businesses they're frequenting, what are they looking for? Where are they hanging out? Where are they showing up? It's important, again, for you to get very clear about their likes, dislikes, concerns. If you even have a picture of someone that you've worked with in the past or a mental picture, it doesn't have to be a physical picture, you can, look at them as you're crafting your answers. To get maximum benefit from this exercise, I recommend that you focus on one person, not a group of people, but one person that perhaps you've worked with, that when you think about them, you go, wow, I would love to get another person like them, or like him or like her. Because you want to get clear about how did you connect with them? What things did you uncover about them when you were working with them? What did they like, dislike? What things did they say when you were actually under the hood working with them that maybe you didn't know about when you first started working with them? These things are really, really key. You want to get sort of the generic information as the terms of, are they male or female? Are they children? Is that your ideal client? What's the age range? What's their profession, income level? Where are they living? What kind of homes do they live in? Another thing that I have found, this information is really important to gather, is because a lot of times we may be targeting people who just are not, they may fit the profile from the level of desire, but they may not have the resources to actually hire you. So you may be targeting people who may have a want for what you have, but they may not have the means to work with you. So getting clear about where they're at in terms of their own finances. Again, you may not be able to find this information out, obviously, but there are going to be ways for you to drill down to get a clearer picture. I mean, if you're pitching people things and every time you pitch them something, they come back to you about the price point in particular, that's going to be a clear sign that perhaps you're approaching people for your services that can't afford you. If price always seems to be the defining factor as to whether or not they will work with you or not. It could very well be that, and there's several, we'll even go further with this in Module 4, it could be that you're not charging enough because people sometimes will decide whether or not to work with you if you're charging too low. They might think that there's something faulty with the service. I almost err on the side of that more than you're charging too much. So, again, you want to but the only way that you can gather this data is by conversing with people. Again, because when you get to that point where you quote your price and everyone keeps saying the same thing, then you know, okay, well, it could very well be that there's a need for this that I offer, but either this market is not quite the one for me in this way because they all keep saying they can't afford me, for an example. What I do want to caution you on, again, I'm jumping a little bit ahead into Module 4, we talk about pricing, but what I definitely want to caution you on is not to default automatically to lowering your price. And I'm going to get really deep on this in the next two modules, so I don't want to go too far into that right now. But I just ask you to not to default to lowering your price. There are other ways that you can shift that makes you move away from the default action to move into being the low-cost leader. you don't want to start competing with your marketplace on price. When you start to do that, then you lose a lot of your differentiation in the marketplace. So it could be that you're not, you know, it may not be that your price is too high. It just may be that you have the wrong audience. So I want to put that out there. If you want to write that down for future reference, please do. It may not, you know, it may not be to change. I heard someone say this in terms of the acting profession. Don't change your act, change your audience. So, you know, I caution you about automatically defaulting to lowering your price. Again, moving back through this, we want to just get, again, clear about how they're living, what kind of places do they, what kind of car they drive, are they married, single, dating, if they have children. Again, these questions, many of them may not pertain to your particular industry or market. Some may be very specific to that. Some you may not be able to get this data from, but there are ways to still get around that. But again, if this particular audience, if you're working with people who have children, you want to know if that's how you're servicing, or if children is your market, you want to know how many, how old, you know, what age they are, because each message that you put that will pertain to that particular audience. Are they sports moms or dads? You know, which kind of sports do they like? Are they PTA moms? What kind of clothes do they wear? Is it designer, store, department store? Do they vacation? Where? What kinds of vacations? What kind of books do they read? And again, when you get this PDF of this presentation, you'll be able to start jotting these things down in a journal and start to paint that picture of your ideal buyer. Moving on through, you want to start looking at, again, the kind of magazines they read. These things will be really important in this section of the target market assessment, because this will be a lot of where you will determine where you'll put your marketing dollars or your marketing and or marketing presence. So you'll want to know what kind of magazines they're reading, what kind of websites or blogs are they visiting, are they active on social media, and if so, which platforms are they using. The one that's really important out of all of these on this list is what organizations or businesses do they frequent? And ask yourself this question, how can you get in front of them? This one here is going to be the game changer for many of you on the phone, because I have found in my experience that we have these wonderful online tools and resources, but there tends to be this default to stay to put too much energy into being on Facebook and to being on social media in general. And there are definite things that you can do using these platforms to attract attention to yourself, but you must, if cash flow is an issue for you right now, you must have an in-person medium of contact. People need to see you, shake your hand, see you in the eye, look you in the eye, converse with you, to get a sense of who you are, and more so you to them. Then you can continue that conversation with them in an online experience. But I'll repeat it again. If cash flow is an issue, you need to be spending your energy right now. I would even go so far as 80% of your energy in offline marketing activities and 20% online activities. So, again, use offline as your first method of contact, and online as your method of maintaining communication once you have met them. And since I'm talking about this now, I'll share with you immediately is that the best way that you can merge this seamlessly is once you've met someone and you find that it's a good conversation, a good fit, you don't know everything about them yet, but you want to go a little further with them, is ask them, are you on? What do you use? Are you on Facebook? Are you on LinkedIn? Are you on Pinterest? They'll tell you. And then you ask them right then and there, would you mind if we connect that way? Now, there's some schools of thought that say that you should have all of those addresses on your business card. I find that personally, you can put it on there. I don't really think it matters all that much one way or another personally. I think that no matter how many profiles people have, I have four of them. I have all four of the major ones. But I can tell you already off the bat is that LinkedIn is the one I probably spend the least amount of time on. Facebook is my number one, with Twitter being the second, Pinterest being the third, and LinkedIn the fourth. So what I'm saying to you is that you want to find out where your audience is hanging out and then make your presence felt there. If you're finding that you're talking to people and everyone keeps saying, or the majority keeps saying, I'm on LinkedIn, and you don't have a LinkedIn profile, ding, 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 you're now getting an insight as to where your audience is hanging out, and you need to get where they are. So it may be time to set up the LinkedIn profile. But what you want to do, I'm assuming that you, most of you have at least one or two of these, and again, if you want to use social media, which I recommend that you do, to some extent of your marketing, is that you immediately follow up with them, like within hours of leaving that conversation and sending out that friend request or that connection request while they are still fresh on your, while you are still fresh on their mind. Okay, that's important. I can tell you right off the bat that your money that you'll make is in the follow-up and how fast you move on things. As I said at the top of the program, at the very beginning, is that money likes speed. And if you are dragging your feet, or you are waiting until a couple of days later to, you know, to process things or to get back to people, you could be losing opportunities. So you want to be able to, you know, and I'm in, let me be clear. You may go to a place and you might meet 10 or 15 people. Well, all 10 or 15 people are probably not going to become your client. Maybe only one or two of them might potentially work with you. So what you can do is you can take their business card and you can just kind of dog ear the corner of it, so you'll know this is the one I need to move on quickly, and then the other ones you'll add in a little, you know, a little bit later. You want to move on everyone quickly, especially if you felt there was a match or there was a good potential fit. Okay, so this is something, again, speed is important here. Get on that platform quickly and follow up with them. And if you don't use social media, you can also follow up with them by email. So I'm not married to social media here. So follow up with them by email. Says, would you mind if I just reach out and say hello? Or, you know, connect with you. Or, I'd love to have this conversation and go further. So you send an email out within a couple of hours and let them know, great, it was a pleasure meeting you today. I enjoyed our conversation, you know, and I'd love to, you know, see how I can support you further. Just want to drop you a quick note. That's all you've got to do, you know. But you want to do something within, I would say, definitely with less than 24 hours after you meet someone that you feel a connection with. So moving on further as to your target market assessment, you want to know, this is also becoming really important too, is what mobile devices are they using? And I'll tell you why this is becoming important is more so, I think, than ever before, is because nowadays your presence online now must include to some extent mobile. So while the scope of this program is not about how to set up your mobile-friendly website, I will say that if you have a website, and I'm sure most of you do, you definitely want to start talking to a web developer or a web designer, and if you need support around this, you can contact, you can even email me or message me on Facebook, on the Facebook group, and I may be able to steer you in the direction in that way. But you definitely want to have your website mobile device friendly. Because that is a lot of how we're making decisions now with people. We want to pull it up on our iPads or our iPhones or Androids or whatever the case may be, and you want things to be, you know, reasonably as aesthetically pleasing to the eye on the mobile device as it is on the actual computer screen. And it's even predicted by 2015, and I think it's going to be even more than that, is that most of us are going to be transacting a lot more of our business and purchasing decisions on mobile devices than on desktop computers. So if you don't own a smartphone, I know some people call them dumb phones, but anyway, you might want to just check with a friend and see how your website is showing up on these mobile devices. Is it, you know, they call it now responsive design, which means that the site will adjust itself based on the device it's being viewed on. You need to pay attention to it. You can't ignore it anymore, because that's how we're doing business now. Okay? That also includes what kind of apps they download. I know many of you are photographers. Apps are really popular now in the photography world. If there's some slant to what you do in your business that would be app-friendly, who knows, you may even decide that you want to design your own app. I see a lot of photographers doing that now, more so than ever. So, again, you know, you want to get yourself abreast of these things because, again, it's the way business is moving. So you need to stay on top of this. And, of course, other questions is, you know, about getting back to your target market. Do they entertain at home? How? Again, some of these will not apply to you. Some might be a direct application to you. But, again, it's just you want – the main point I want to get across here is you want to get the information. You don't want to fly in the dark here as much as you can. So, you know, being involved in forums, if you're involved in any kind of groups, LinkedIn is great for this. There's one thing I do know about LinkedIn is that there's tons of groups on there that you can join. You can start reading the conversation. And while I'm talking about groups, I want to make sure I say this. All of you are, and let's just say in this case, most of you on this call are photographers. Don't join groups with other photographers. Other photographers is not your target market. Okay? The other photographers are your colleagues, maybe, but they're not your target market. So you want to join groups where your target market hangs out, i.e. people who can hire you. So do me a favor and don't go on LinkedIn or any of these other Facebook groups and join other graphic design organizations and try to pitch your services or other photographers groups and try to, you know, try to find clients because they're not the ones hiring you. This is why this assessment is so important because you need to be where the buyers are for you, okay? It's fine to be involved in the groups that are your colleagues just to kind of see what they're doing, but when you're doing your, you know, putting your information out there and you're doing your informational interviews and you're trying to get your target market assessment to go, you want to, you know, look at your product and service and say, who is the person that's going to buy this and where are they hanging out? And if it's online, what groups are they involved in? And make your presence known. And I'll even take it a step further. Let's say that you are, I know that Jonathan is very heavily into ships, nautical, naval, boating, and that, you know, that's his area of expertise. So clearly he would want to be in groups that involve those subject matters because those people are passionate about boating. They're passionate about ships, shipbuilding. They're passionate about those topics. He's going to be in those groups. He's going to stand out more than in a photographer's group because he will be probably the only photographer that's there with a portfolio that he can share pictures or talk about, you know, certain jobs he's done or what have you in those groups. He's going to stand out amongst that market because he's not doing the same thing that everyone else in that group is doing, but he is passionate about that market. He's supportive of that market, that industry, and he wants to let them know of his expertise and that he's available to them. And even if the people reading are not his, you know, necessarily his direct customer, they may know someone that is. They may look at it and go, wow, I just saw this guy's great work that he's been sharing on here. You might want to reach out to him. You don't know where it's going to come from. It may not come from the direct people that you have conversation with, but as we move into talking about how you talk about yourself in meetings, when you're meeting someone new, networking groups, meetups, that kind of thing, conferences, you'll be able to tell people very clearly. You will not walk into a conversation saying, I am a photographer, I am a graphic designer, because that doesn't tell anyone anything. All it tells them is what your profession is. It doesn't tell them who you are. It doesn't tell them what you specialize in. It doesn't tell them what kind of customer or client you want them to bring to you. So part of the work that we're going to do here is for you to walk up to people and say, this is my, you know, my name is, you know, this is what I specialize in. This is the problem I solve or who I serve. And this is how I help people. And when you say that to someone, it's very different than the standard elevator speech of I'm a photographer, I'm a graphic designer, which doesn't say anything. Because the next thing out of the person's mouth is, well, what do you shoot? You know, and you want to have, you want to be very, very clear, leaving no questions on the table for them, because in their mind, when you tell someone this in a very drilled down and very specific way, we're running our Rolodex in our brain to think, who do I know that knows someone that might want what he's doing or what she's doing? You see, so it's a very different approach. We all naturally, I feel, want to help one another, especially in business-related conversations, you know, business-wise. So the more information you can give them without sounding salesy, without, you know, trying to push your stuff on them, but just letting them know what you do, who you serve, how you help, and what you're looking for, our mind defaults to, can I help this person? Do I know someone? And even if they can't help you right in that moment, they may be able to, they may come back to you a couple of days later and say, you know what, I was just thinking about this friend of mine that does this. I think you might want to talk to them. It happens to me almost every single day. So being really, really clear about how you talk about yourself in public will be very attractive to how you find more clients and increase your cash flow. Okay, so moving through, you know, and you can pretty much read this when, like I said, when you get the PDF of this presentation, but you can go even further to the movies they watch, how often do they go to movies, to the theater, what kind of, you know, what kind of shows are they seeing, do they go to concerts, music, what kind of music, you know, what kind of speakers do they listen to, do they go to any type of events like that. What kind of hobbies do they have? Do they work out? What kind of exercises do they do? You know, do they how they maintain their physical and mental well-being? You know, all of these things are just a part of the drill-down process because, again, for every single one of you, all of this won't apply, but for some of you, these will be very, very close to where your market is hanging out. You want to know this because you'll want to know, how can I put myself in front of these people in the things that they already are engaging in? And that's what the key of this exercise is all about, okay? And again, I move even further into kind of TV programs they watch, the educational experience they have. You know, are they investing in their education on a regular basis, seminars, workshops, enrolled in university? This is very important now. A lot of people are going back to school now. This could be opportunities for you to come and do talks at the local college level or the local university level, especially continuing education programs. Living in where I lived in Los Angeles for 12 years, I used to always look to the Learning Annex, not Learning Annex, I'm sorry, and I'll tell you a story about that in a second, about the UCLA Continuing Education Catalog. Because many of those people, especially in the graphic design and photographers industries, would actually teach continuing education programs at the university level. And those continuing education programs for UCLA were not cheap. Many of those programs ran up to $1,000. So you're getting it, you know, and I will say this, is that those schools don't put those programs on unless there is a need for them in the community. So you want to start collecting those catalogs and looking at what programs that they're offering and to see if you can potentially either offer a course or a one-night lecture to introduce yourself to the community, to share your expertise and put you in front of people. As I mentioned a second ago, Learning Annex used to be a huge catalog that was out for years. I pitched a course to them, God, this was probably like more than 10 years ago, and it was a small class, maybe like five or six people, but a local cable station in San Francisco where I was living at the time saw my course description in the Learning Annex catalog, and I was invited to come onto a TV show to be interviewed by them, and they found me through the Learning Annex book. So continuing education programs is another form of marketing. A lot of people don't think about that, but, you know, it's a great form of marketing. It positions you in your local community as an expert. Corporations and media outlets are reading those descriptions. It does take time because, you know, you're working on the calendar of those schools, which sometimes are 6 to 8 months out, but it's never too early to start submitting your proposals if that's something that you want to explore. And again, it does, you know, you won't make a lot of money from the actual class itself. Not always. I'm not saying it's definite that you won't make a lot of money from that, but it is a positioning tool in your local community. So do not discredit the local colleges and universities. Also, don't diminish what you know. Again, this is why these conversations with potential clients or potential your market is so important, because they may tell you something that you didn't even think about that just becomes second nature to you. Like, I know, for an example, Susan is a graphic designer, and, you know, people obviously are always, you know, the first thing I think about when I think of graphic design, I think of logos, for an example. Well, how do I know what makes a $50 logo better than a $1,000 logo? Clearly, there's some difference between them because people will pay that much or more for a logo, a branding exercise. So if she has insider information about what to look for when you're hiring a graphic designer, for an example, and she went to the local colleges and universities or even local businesses that complement but not compete. Complement but not compete. You wouldn't go to another graphic designer, but you'd go to a complimentary service and say, I'd love to come in and do a talk about how to hire a graphic designer that won't rip you off if you want to get controversial, or how to hire a graphic designer that can give you the logo of your dreams, or do you need a logo? Three things you need to know right now about how to design a logo that cements your brand. And you deliver these talks in a local community, you're positioning yourself in the marketplace as an expert. Does that mean that the only thing you can offer is logo design? No. That may be the thing that gets people in the door. But what happens is once you get them in the door and you start asking them, getting deeper with them about what's going on for them, you then start to get a strong, strong sense of what else they need from you, which would probably go way beyond just the logo. So one of the things I invite you all to do is to start thinking around your local community, what businesses complement what I do, but they don't compete. So someone who does photography in the nautical industry would not be your potential joint venture partner. That's competition for you. But you might go to yacht clubs. You might go to, you know, even the military. I mean, I don't know. That industry I'm not that familiar with. But you'll have a better sense of who your market is and what it is that you can, how you can position yourself in front of them. And the best marketing tool that you will ever have, surpassing direct mail, surpassing social media, surpassing running ads, is you in a room with a captive audience listening to you teach them, educate them about something that they need. It's basically free. You will almost in all instances get paid some way for it. And it is the best marketing tool that you will ever, ever have. I have not done one speaking gig anywhere where I did not walk away with money in my hand. If you have, you know, introductory products, which we'll talk about in the bonus module, that you can offer. But getting yourself out of your house in front of live people, actively looking for opportunities to make your presence known, is going to increase your cash flow faster than anything else that you could do, aside from calling a former client that you've worked with and asking if they need anything and that they could, you know, if they want to hire you again. Okay? So anyway, let's see here. Again, moving through this really quickly, you want to, you know, also know what things concern them, what their goals are, what their fears are. The things that really, you know, again, drive them to make decisions as to whether or not you are the person that could potentially help them, okay? So what we're going to move into now is talking about how to talk about your product or service. This is where getting really clear about your story, and not just a story about your old money story we talked about last week, but your story behind why you're doing what you're doing now. I'm assuming that everyone here enjoys what they do, or at least likes what they do a whole lot, hopefully. But there was a reason why you chose to do what it is that you do, whatever it is, be it photography or design or what have you. That's important because people want to know that they're working with people who are passionate about what they do. And part of getting clear about that story is how you will craft your introductory message to people when you're at groups and you're at gatherings and things like that. You want that passion to come through when you're talking about what it is that you do. And why you got started. Out of all the things that you could have done with your life, there was something about nautical photography that really caught your attention. There was something about, you know, food photography that really, you know, captured your eye. It was something, you know, you could have done anything with your life, but you chose this. Why did you choose this? Okay. You also want to list what kind of special training or expertise that you might have. These things also, this is a part of crafting your, what I call your new revised bio. So it's not just a list of acknowledgments and educational experience, which is important, but it's the story. Who is, fill in the blank, who is Rodney? Who is Jonathan? Who is Susan? Who is Ira? Who are you? Why are you doing what you're doing? Then you back it up with your special training and expertise, okay? Then you move into what's the pain point for the person that you're working with or want to work with, and what's your unique way of solving it. And I'll say that again. What is the pain point that your particular customer has, and what's your unique way that you solve it? So I'll throw out a couple of examples. If someone has been trying to get, let's say in this case, a logo that they've been trying to get now for a year and they've hired all these people and no one is getting what they need, they're not getting it quite right, I'll just use Susan as an example here. The pain point for the customer is that they're not getting what they want. In this case, it's a logo. In her informational interview that she has with this potential client, this person may say, you know what, they keep saying over and over and over again, I just don't feel like they're listening to me. Okay? They've given you a gold nugget right there. It's not that the design skill for the other people was not there, but the pain point for the customer was, I'm not being heard. I'm not being listened to. Okay? So in this case, if, you know, I'm sure using Susan here, I'm picking on her a little bit tonight, but, you know, I know Susan and I know a lot of her work that she does, is that if her way of solving the pain point is that I listen to people, I listen to my clients, I am willing to go there with them to find out what it is that they're needing, what problems they've had in the past with other people that they've hired that didn't get it right. I'm empathizing with them. I'm hearing and I'm co-partnering with them to help them get what they want. Do you see how that will make her stand out amongst everyone else that does what she does, that wants to focus exclusively on skill and not on being an effective listener? So as you're moving through your list, think about yourself. Are you a great listener? Can you easily empathize with people and their pain point? Are you comfortable with talking about that with them? Because people want to know that they're being heard. Okay? You know, it could be that, you know, again, there's someone else that does exactly what you do, but they're focusing only on their skills. They're not focusing on the customer service experience for that particular, you know, for anyone. They're not focusing on that. You know, they're saying they're going to deliver something on this date and it's 2 weeks late. Or, you know, or they come back with shots that are totally not what the person asked for. So developing an ear for listening to people and getting in conversation with them is a skill that, quite frankly, I think, in my opinion, can help set many of you apart far faster than brushing up on your technical skill, because it's a skill that, quite frankly, a lot of us are losing sight of, is the ability to empathize and listen to people. Okay? Again, all of you know what your particular thing is that you do and how you serve people. So I want you to take some time and get clear about that. Of course, this moves right into number four, which, what are your points of differentiation? So what are the things that you're doing that other people don't do? And it could be very simple, very subtle. It just depends. You know, I'll say in case in point, I'll use Jonathan here. You know, Jonathan may have a great resource with an amazing printer because he knows that his clients are going to want to have, prints done, maybe even posters done or some kind of a printed material done based on the images that he shot. Maybe the last printer that they had, they didn't have a good relationship or good experience with. But, you know, Jonathan may have a great relationship with an amazing printer that he uses. So his point of differentiation is that not only can he deliver the image, but he can deliver the finished product and possibly in other forms. You see what I'm saying? So what's your point of differentiation? What makes you different from everybody else? You know, it could be that, you know, and I'll even go so far as to say these are simple customer service things, folks, that a lot of people right now are dropping the ball on. You know, do you get back to people within a reasonable amount of time? You know, and I mean by that, I mean within maybe 24 hours or, quite frankly, less. You know, a lot of times we lose opportunities because our clients can't reach us. So are we getting back to people? Are we following up after the sale to see if they need anything else, if they liked what they got? You know, these are things that a lot of people don't do. Sending handwritten notes in the mail as opposed to just emails or phone calls, even better. Again, following up. Do you have an effective customer service program? You know, going above and beyond what the person is expecting. Do you surprise them with things that you didn't even offer them in the initial contract that goes beyond that? You know, so again, it goes back into, you know, what inspired you to start what you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? And, you know, again, what in your life made you want to do this? And again, when you start thinking about those things, you get that feeling inside of you, wow, I really loved this experience. This is what made, what was the defining moment when I decided I want to do this thing? Okay, and then how can I create that experience or recreate that experience to some extent for my client? For everyone, it may not always be applicable, but for many of you, I believe it will be. You know, so how can you take it a step further, two or three steps further? How can you wow your people? You see, and I'd rather you focus your energy on that than pulling back on your pricing. Make it an experience for people. And then justification for higher prices becomes a secondary conversation. Okay? So let's move in right through. Let's see, again, what problems does your product or service solve? Why should people buy this? Out of every place else they could go to get the same thing, why should they buy yours? What makes you different? You know, and it can be something as simple as I always get back to people, I listen to them, to, you know, I can offer a complete solution, including printing, design, work, to, you know, I have connections with people that support this industry that I can get them relationships with. You know, I mean, maybe a person who is hiring you for a food photography job may be really impressed with the fact that you know some of the top chefs in the city and that you can get them a private cooking lesson with them. That's why relationships are so important. You want to get, you want to start focusing on building your relationship database. You know, these are things that are out-of-the-box thinking, but I'm telling you, folks, it's simple stuff like that that really makes the difference. When you focus on that, price becomes secondary. You can charge more. You're not competing with everyone else that's doing the same thing that you're doing, and you're wowing your people. Okay? So just take some time over this next week and think about that. How can you set yourself apart? You know? Okay? So I want to move right into, we're going to talk about the crafting of the 30-second elevator speech. And I know this sounds, what I'm reading here, and I'll just kind of share a little bit with mine, how I came up with mine and the formula I came up to come up with my speech. A lot of people might think they can't remember all of this. There's a lot of information to share or say in one mouthful. But as you practice it, which you will, after you craft it, you'll want to look in the mirror and practice this until it becomes second to you. You won't use it in the exact way you write it. It's not about necessarily following a script. It's more about you getting really crystal clear about your highlight points, who you serve, the problem you solve, and what you're looking for. Okay? And so as you're going through this exercise, I want you to start to integrate it into your bones. As you're writing it out, start saying it out loud so you can hear yourself saying it, and practice it. Practice it in the mirror. Practice it with a colleague. I even want to go so far as to say practice it with each other. If you feel comfortable with that, create a Facebook group there. You can connect with one another. And I'm sure if you reached out and said, I'd love to practice my elevator speech with someone, would someone be interested in hopping on the phone with me? Test it out. Because, this is it's a group experience here that I've created. So I want to give you as much of me as I can, but I won't be always able to do it for everyone every day. But support one another in that respect and get comfortable with reaching out and asking people. But again, the reason why you want to have this speech is because, I said before, you want to have a way to give people enough information that they can look at you and go, okay, I got it. I know what you do. Okay, let me think of who I might can connect you with that can help you. If there's nothing they can do for you, they'll just smile and say, oh, that's interesting, and they'll walk away, but they may have a contact for you. You just don't know. But you want to get it down so you can say it very quickly. And I want to stress something here, too, with this. It's because I go to a lot of networking meetings, and I'm going to tell you something all right now. I don't know if you go to networking meetings or not. But when you go to one, whether it be a BNI meeting or whatever the case may be, start paying attention to how much people say when you ask them what they do. Because you don't want this to turn into a dissertation. You don't want what you're saying to be so long and so involving that people start losing interest and they fade away. You want to get to the point. You want to tell them what you told them, and then tell them again. And then move on. I have gone to so many meetings lately where I see people standing there telling you it's supposed to be a 30-second, at most, 30, 45-second introduction. And they'll be up there for 5 minutes telling them every single thing they've ever done, ever known, by who. It's just, it's insane. That's why practicing this makes perfect, and you'll get comfortable with it. The first time out the gate, you'll probably flub it. Don't worry about it. You're going to do the best you can and keep doing it, because as you keep doing it, it'll become second nature to you. It will flow from your mouth as simply as breathing. Okay? So, see, I'm hearing some feedback, and I want to make sure that I have everyone. Okay, there we go. All right. Let's see here. So let me get back to the presentation. I heard some feedback there. I just want to make sure that I've got a clear line. Okay. Back to the presentation. There we go. All right. I hope I didn't lose the screen and that you're seeing slight on crafting your 30-second elevator speech. So let's move kind of into the meat of it really quickly. Again, you'll kind of do a lot of this work on your own, and we can also discuss it in the group and also next week a little bit, because I do want you to start working on this. So basically, my speech is this: when I'm out there talking to people, I say my name, and I say I'm the author of, or I could say the creator of, the Cashflow Creation Secrets course. This is only one thing I do. I can craft this, again, based on who I'm talking to. So you're going to have, i.e., you're going to have different ones of these. You're going to have different speeches depending upon who you're talking to, okay? But this is my main one. So right now I'm currently the author of the Cashflow Creation Secrets course. I coach artists and creative entrepreneurs, helping them grow their business by rethinking their business model. I help them expand their product and service offerings, getting clear on who they serve so they only connect with customers and clients that are perfect for them. Now, I could say it just like that and be done. There's a little more I can add on there as well, but I can essentially say it just like that, and they go, oh, he's got a course, he talks about cash flow, who he serves, coaches and artists and creative entrepreneurs. What does he help them do? I help them grow their business by rethinking their business model, expanding their product and service offerings, and getting clear on who they serve so they only connect with customers and clients that are perfect for them. You see how much more interesting that is than me just going up and saying I'm a business coach? by going up and just saying that, the latter, it doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't tell you who I work with, who I specialize in, what I've created, what problem I solve, how I help people. It doesn't tell them anything. But when I introduce myself that way, even if everyone listening to that goes, okay, well, I don't really need that, but I think I know someone who might. Invariably, I've always had someone walk up to me and say, I think I might know someone that would be perfect for you. So really practice this. And again, it doesn't have to be really long, but see how fast that you can rattle it off as you practice it. So you want to answer the who, your name, and what it is that you do, or what you've created, even better if it's a program. What is it, like what, who do you serve? Okay, who's your client? What's the problem that they have and how do you help them solve it? And that moves into your end result. So what I've done here is I've given you a template here called the anatomy of the pitch. And you answer these questions. I am, fill in the blank, I do, for whom, what's your wow factor, you know, and I'm looking for or pursuing. So let's say that if you're going to a networking meeting and you say, I'm looking for clients who need, fill in the blank, I'm looking for clients who need logos that, you know, blow their customers' mind. I'm looking for clients who need, you know, nautical photography services that, you know, just, I mean, you know, you have to craft your own words. I'm trying to come up with stuff off the cuff with everyone that's on the call here, but you get my point. So you don't have to always say what you're pursuing. That part you can add in based on the conversation that you're having with people, but they'll get the point of what you're saying when you tell them who you are, what you do, and who for. Okay, and then whatever your wow factor is or whatever it is that you do for people that really helps them. The finishing touches to the elevator speech is getting really passionate about what you do. Remember, excitement is contagious. People want, it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. So that's why remembering why you do what you do, which I went back a couple of slides before, is so important. If you can't remember why you're doing what you're doing, that's going to come across in how you talk about yourself. So you want to get clear with that. And if you're not passionate about it, you might want to rethink what you're offering. All right? You also want to, you know, your posture is important. Again, I'm emphasizing all of you do face-to-face interaction here. How are you standing? How are you looking at people? Are you making direct eye contact with people? Are you looking away? You know, be very mindful of that, because people like to talk to people who are looking them directly in the eye. It gives them a clear sense of who you are and if you really can do what you say you do. You know, use a firm handshake, obviously, and speak in complete sentences and not questions. And what I mean by that is there's a way that some people ask a they say a sentence, but it ends with a question in the tone. So, you know, you wouldn't want to read, you know, are you reading that book? Or you want that book now? Or, you know, everything has a lift at the end of the sentence. And what it does subconsciously is it plants the seed in the person's mind that you're not confident in what you're doing. So be very clear. When you're making a statement, you're making a statement. When you're asking a question, you're asking a question. So that there's no confusion for the person who's receiving your information. And again, that's why practicing this is so important, and practicing it with a friend or practicing it with a colleague is so important, because they can tell you, they'll hear things in the way you say it and how you say it and how your posture is that you can't pick up on your own. And again, you don't have to worry about having this perfect the first time out the gate. That's why it's called practice. You write it, you practice it, you fine-tune it, you do it again, and you do it until you get it to a point where it rolls off your tongue just like you're just talking to someone. You don't even think twice about it. It's simple, it's clear, and people get it. And when people get it, they can refer you faster. Okay? So before I move into the bonuses tonight, I want to go back and see if there's any questions, and I also want to see if anyone has a phone question for me. I invite you to press, I believe it is star 2 on your phone to raise your hand, and I will see it on the switchboard here, and I will open up the line to answer your question. Or you can type your question into the Q&A chat box, and I will see it there, and I will try to address it that way. So let's see here, anything? Okay, so let's see here. Wonderful, wonderful. So I see Kim works with food, works with agriculture. I think it is Sarah that shoots food. Okay, so right. I have Sarah, she shoots food. I have Lita, she shoots events, live performance, music, theater, opera, fundraisers, proms. So there's a lot of, you see all these, I mean, she's listed, Lita has listed probably about, oh my God, like 20 different potential places where she can make a presence known. I mean, it's extraordinary. The thing of it is that in, I would say, out of all of them that you have here, Lita, I would say drill down to probably one or two right now. I mean, they're very tied, they're very related, but drill down to one or two that you can really, you know, you want to be, and this is for all of you, you want to be known as an expert, as a specialist. I'm sorry, specialist. I think that's even better than an expert. You want to be known as a specialist. People, we are really moving into an arena in the economy right now where people are looking for specialists. They're looking for people that have a specific set of skills and expertise that when you're talking about yourself, people get it and know, okay, if I need someone that can shoot an event, Lead is who I'm going to call. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't work in other areas. And this is a fear point that I really want to bring up right now, because I know a lot of people have this fear, is that if I specialize, I'm going to be losing out on other opportunities. And I can tell you for a fact that that's just not true. It's not true. By specializing, you're taking ownership of an area, a market, an industry, a place that you can put your stake in the ground and say, this is what I own here. This is my piece. This is what I do, okay? And if anyone needs someone that does this, when they think of events or they think of photography around the cruise industry as what Jonathan does, they don't think about anybody else. Because, again, mind you, a lot of people don't do what I'm telling you all. They won't take ownership for a certain market. They want to just say, I'm a photographer and I'll shoot whatever you need, which doesn't tell the marketplace anything. Because nowadays, folks, we are getting our communication in sound bites. We're not even getting whole sentences on things anymore now. So when you can remove all traces of confusion for someone, they're making decisions in a split second. And I'll tell you something, this is the reason why a lot of people you'll find will have quote-unquote less talent, physical, technical talent, than maybe you have, but their business is more successful because of two things. They make it really clear about who they're targeting, who their market is. They drill down deep. They don't go a mile wide. They go a mile deep. They own an arena, and they've mastered sales. That's why you'll have someone that has more talent than you, less talent than you, making more money than you. That's it. In a nutshell, that's it. It's nothing more than that. And if you keep that, so if you've got the physical chops to back up what it is that you're selling and you follow it up with amazing customer service, think about how much that's going to make people want to come to you. It'll come to the place where you won't have to do so much heavy lifting. People will come and find you because of your specialty. Again, it doesn't mean that you can't do other things, but everything around your branding needs to come under one solid title or one solid industry or one solid area that makes it really clear. And it makes your marketing easier. Easier. You know, I mean, like I was reading here with Jonathan, I mean, he's in the cruise industry. How many websites, how many magazines, how many travel publications, how many things are out there that support the cruise industry? And if you read most of those publications, what are they talking about? The kinds of cruises, where the cruises go. They're talking about, you know, the destinations. They're talking about, you know, all of the things around the experience of the cruise itself. But how many people are talking about how to photograph a boat, how to photograph a ship, how to get great photos on a ship? I mean, you become the resident expert specialist. Again, I want to say specialist here, not expert, but the specialist in this genre, and you own it. And everything you put out in these publications is cementing that specialist status. You're the go-to person. You're the ones that they're thinking about. Okay? You know, again, with Lita, you know, I think in looking at all of this, the overall gist that I get is that you do, I see a lot of potential. Well, there's several things that you do. There's a lot of potential here for you in event photography, especially around corporations. And I also see family, pregnancy, kids. You know, this is why, so what you would do is you would want to start writing down, you might want to make target market profiles for a couple of different markets, because you want to, again, see where the most traction is going, where the most traction is happening for you. You know, it might be easier for you to reach out to new moms and families and children and things like that than it is to get the event-related gigs. Again, I don't know, because we're not speaking directly. But what you will want to do is you will want to, again, do this informational interview this week. Get someone on the phone in both of those markets if you've worked with someone, and find out more about what they need. Ask them questions. The most important question you can ask is, why did you choose me? Out of everyone that you could have hired, you chose me. Why did you choose me? You know. And then what could you do to make the experience better? So two questions. Why did you choose me, and what could I do to make the experience better? And they'll tell you. It's not, you don't have to go out and guess or find this on the internet. Just start talking to folks. They'll tell you what they want or what they don't want, or how they like stuff or how they don't like it. It's much faster than trying to guess it. And then ask the other questions. You know, I really want to, you know, I'm creating my program. I'm creating my reach-out program. You know, I want to find out, what publications are you reading? What blogs are you looking at? What organizations are you going to, or people like you? You know, and where can I find more like you? Where can I find more like you? I really enjoyed working with you. Where can I find more people like you? They'll tell you. If you had a good relationship with them, they'll tell you. It's the fastest way to go, you know. Let's see here. Let me refresh this and see if there's any more questions. Okay, so I was reading here with Sarah. She says she worked mainly in education, tutoring, caregiving fields, retail bookstore, some event. Okay. So what I would say with this, because these are very different, Sarah, you have in here education, tutoring, caregiving fields, elderly, retail, bookstore, some event services. You want to get really, well, for me and for you, I guess, but if for me more so, you want to get really clear about what of these areas are you most passionate about, and what topics, and very specifically, what topics are you most interested in or that you're helping people with. Again, if it's education, tutoring, for an example, what's the subjects? Okay, if it's, you know, caregiving, primarily the elderly field, again, you know, what types of people, where are they located, what are you actually doing with them, you know, and because that, you know, just say caregiving doesn't tell me enough, so be very, very clear, you know, retail, bookstore, again, you know, just focus on, get really, really clear, get really clear about it and drill down deep. Jonathan comes back and says, maritime industry, most of his clients are now cargo operators. So, see, that's an industry that I don't know a lot about. I don't know how cargo operators hire a photographer for that kind of work. But it, for me to know that specifically doesn't matter. What does matter is that clearly someone in this market has hired you to do this work for them. So again, it shouldn't be difficult for you to go back to them. Not necessarily walk away with another invoice, but to find out how you can better serve them. How you can better serve them. Again, you know, you're going to have to do some finessing and some, and you know, a little bit, but you're going to need to, like I said, you know, if I leave you with nothing for this week, is I want all of you to get on it, get on the phone, get on the email, whatever you got to do, but I want you talking to somebody in your market. Because that information is going to help me, help you, it's going to help you, help yourself. And as you move forward, we get really heavily into the marketing conversations. We're actually starting it this week, but we're really going to get into it heavily next week. And, of course, moving into pricing, you know. And, again, customer service, again, I can't emphasize enough. I want every single one of you to start thinking about this. You know, again, customer service in this society, quite frankly, in this day and age, to me, in a lot of respects, just sucks. I'm just being blunt here. You know, people are not taking care of their people. And so, you know, it's not always about talent. It isn't always about how great your skills are over someone else. It's just about, are you good at taking care of your people? Because nowadays, trust me, and you all know this, there's someone out there that does exactly what you do, that's sitting there in the wings, that are $50 cheaper than you are, $100 cheaper than you are, waiting to snatch that customer from you. You know, so if you're not on top of it and providing your people with more than they're expecting, you know, and wowing them with your service and following up with them and taking care of them, there's someone out there waiting to take them from you. You know, and price becomes, if you don't remember anything I say tonight, price becomes secondary when the service is there. It becomes secondary. Everyone does not make their decision on what they buy or who they hire based on price. Okay? People want to be taken care of more than ever. We're hungry for this. I can't emphasize this enough. Okay? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to move over to the phone line and see if there was anyone there that had a question. I think if you hit star 2, let's see. I unmuted, or is it muted? Okay, I should see. There we go. I have one here. Okay, I'm going to unmute you. Hello?
Hi, Rodney.
Yes.
Hi, it's Susan. How are you?
Hi, Susan. Perfect. How are you?
You're so brilliant. So it was interesting. I was listening. One thing I really, you have a lot of good information, as always, and you're it's kind of interesting to me because you are delivering information that other people will deliver the same thing. But first of all, I think you present it, so it's a lot easier to understand, or it is for me, anyways. And but also, I like how you bring the psychology into it, and you know the things that really stop you, like you said at the top of the presentation. And I was sitting here, I was listening to you talking about the elevator speech, and I had this major, like, brick over the head moment. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and they were talking about how people either live their life through being significant or through love and connecting. It's like those are the two opposites. And there's other spectrums, but that was the one that stuck with me. And I definitely live my life through significant, you know, trying to prove myself, trying to earn someone's respect, if I could be so bold. As opposed to loving and embracing myself or person I'm talking to. And when you were talking about the elevator speech, it occurred to me, you know, I've met those people, dare even say I've been those people, that, you know, you ask for a 30-second, 45-second, and you get 5 hours, 5 minutes. And it occurred to me that, you know, when you're, like, when I don't know if I've gone for 5 minutes, I hope that I haven't, but let's
just
say I have. I'm really looking to be significant in their life. Like I'm trying to prove myself to them, not embrace my passion or explain what I do, be confident in what I do, and then just walk away. So thank you for bringing that point in.
Yeah. You know, it's something that, again, we don't, you know, because a lot of the paradigms that we are out there with is something that someone else has taught before. And some of it might have worked a few years ago, maybe even as much as a year ago, but they're not necessarily working today. And the reason why they aren't is because there's so much noise out there now. People are, we're using half of our attention span to take in information because there's just too much of it out there. And I'm a firm believer in a confused mind says no. If I don't get it, if I don't get what you're offering me and I don't get it fast, I'm out of here. Not that I'm being intentionally rude or dismissing someone, but it's because what you're saying to me means something else I've got to process, something else I have to figure out, and I just may not have the capacity to do that right now. You may have a good thing going. You may have something I really might want, but my mind's going to say not right now. And that's how we can come across someone that we've known for a while, and then all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and we go, oh, I didn't know you did that. Well, you may have told them 1,000 times, but they weren't hearing it. You know, they weren't ready to receive it. And it very well could have been it's because you gave them too much to think about. You gave them too much information, too much to process. So it was easier for them just to say, not right now. It's not necessarily no. It just may mean not right now. It doesn't mean that you just slink away and, you know, where you weren't good enough or you didn't do something right. It just means not right now. So what you do is you go, you know, you keep crafting, you keep working on what you're saying. And I love the fact that you said is that, you know, you were saying about being significant, meaning proving what you can do. You know, I think that people nowadays, I'll share a little story with you all real quick. Susan, do you feel complete in this? And because I want to mute you again. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
all right.
Great. Thank you.
Real quick. No problem. Thank you, Susan, for sharing that. If anyone else has a question, please hit *2 and I'll address it on the call here. But one of the things that I had a colleague of mine say to me years ago that he was actually introduced to a group of colleagues that, you know, this gentleman he was with was a photographer as well, a very good one. And he was very successful at what he did. But he clearly had reverence for my friend and felt that he was also a very talented photographer as well. But how he introduced him to a set of colleagues that they both knew was, he said my friend's name, and he said he's a much better photographer than I am, but I make more money. And when he said it to me, I looked at him like, it was years ago when he said this to me, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I either would have punched him or if I would have just, I mean, what do you do with that in that moment, you know? But it was one of those, like, caught you off guard where it almost, like, knocked your legs out from under you. But what it was that the history I know of my friend is he isn't a brilliant photographer. But like so many creative people, we tie in our worth to our talent and our creativity. Like, what are we worth? And we base decisions on that. And I know that directly affects, from what I know of him, I know how it affects how much he charges. We're going to get really heavily into this in Module 4. You know, I know he undercharges. He grossly undercharges. You know, that's how I was saying earlier how you can have someone with less talent than you, but they make more money is because they've mastered sales, they've mastered pricing, and they've mastered how to communicate with people to get them to take action. This man that introduced my friend clearly said, this man's better than me at what he does, but I make more money. Now, I looked at it once I was able to kind of process it was, he gave you a gift because he basically said to you is, you need to up your game. You're not charging what you're worth here. People clearly see your value, but you're not charging what you're worth here. So when you start getting clearer about that, your worth plays into every single thing. That's why I did the money story exercise from the very first lesson. That stuff that's there is in the back of your mind, and it's basic. It's making decisions for you. It's making decisions for you. It's basically saying when you want to say your price and in your mind you're cutting it by half because you think that they're going to say no if you say the first number. You know? You haven't based it on anything that's hard and firm. You may not even know what your numbers are to run your business. You see, but so when you get clear about those things, your numbers are what their numbers are. Now, you can negotiate what the end price is the customer pays for based on deliverables, but you don't just automatically offer up everything that you're going to offer them for a dramatically reduced price because you're afraid to lose the sale. Okay, so that's why it's important to really get clear. Don't let that story part of your life that ran things for so long come in and now become your pricing manager. And that's the best way I can put that for you. Don't let them run your sales program and your pricing manager, because if this was an employee that you hired that was doing that, you would have fired them. You would have fired them. Okay? So it's time to acknowledge what that was. But remember, now there's a new sheriff in town, and that sheriff now has numbers that it has to meet, numbers it has to run, and you know what you need to be charging for your stuff. And if everyone is saying you're charging too much, don't change your act, change your audience. Okay? I'm going to – Kim is now raised her hand, so I want to unmute Kim. Kimberly, I'm sorry. Hi, Kimberly. Is it Kim or Kimberly? I'm sorry. I see your hand raised, but I don't hear you.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Are you there? Okay, because I was switching from computer to the phone. I'm sorry.
No problem. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good, and I'm getting a lot out of this tonight, so thank you. So I just have a quick question, kind of backtracking on what you said early about knowing your story.
Yes.
Back in mid-2000, I have always kind of been a storyteller with my photography, but it was always associated with corporate work. So corporations would hire me to kind of get more of a photojournalistic look, and I had a tagline. It's kind of like finding beauty in the ordinary, and that was kind of my deal for a very long time, and it was very successful, but it also has become astoundingly popular. So I'm finding more and more photographers going down that route, especially a lot of young kids coming out who want, you know, who actually call me up and talk about my storytelling too. So now, and I used to be able to go, you know, kind of across the range with a lot of variety of clients. But now I enjoy agriculture. I worked in coffee for a very long time, and then Chipotle was one of my clients, which is great. So I got to work on their farms, and that's what I really want to pursue is more agriculture and organic. So, but it's like what I feel like now, if I get even more specific just to keep ahead of the rat race or the trend, then I'm going to lose, like, I mean, I'm still getting, you know, sometimes I get calls from, you know, like a couple of stock agencies who were like, oh, I really love your stock stuff with corporations, how you, you know, capture that or whatever. But if I go that route, that's why I want to ask you, because you say you won't lose that, but I feel like I'm being, like, forced into this really, you know, specialized just so that I can make a statement. But because that storytelling has become so popular that where am I going to go with my corporate clients that sometimes, you know, really make a difference in my bottom line every year? So I don't know. Am I going to, like, cut my neck out to bite my throat or whatever you call it, a cliche.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I feel like
yeah,
I'm
going to,
you kind of get my drift. Like, I feel like I'm being forced to do this, like, really, which I enjoy, and that's a client that I really, really love because, you know, at heart, that's my deal. You know, I love agriculture. I love farming. I have a small farm. It's kind of my whole persona. But I also really like my kind of funky city life portraits that are kind of, you know, cool. And I won't be able to show that.
Well, let me ask you this, because just in you were speaking about the agricultural and the farm and all of that that you have, and again, you know, you're going to have to finesse this based on who you're talking to in the context of your meeting or conversation with a prospective client. So let's stay with the agricultural, the farming photography, because that's the thing that you're feeling. I can hear in your voice, first of all, when you even talk about it. You know, I don't know if it would require that you maybe have a separate website. I don't even know if the corporate people or the agricultural people would even care about a website if they want to look at all of that, if that's how you would be reaching them. There's a couple of different ways that you can go with this, just based on, you know, the little amount of time that we have here to discuss it, but you could have a whole separate website for, you know, that particular market. That really dives into that story and why you got into this and why you're passionate about it, that you're a farmer, that, you know, you own a farm, why are you doing this? Because it's more than the fact that you just want to create a pretty picture of landscape. You know, you're doing this for a much deeper reason. I can hear it in your voice. So you want to be able to share that in your communication, on your website, in your social media interaction, and so on and so forth. Now, as far as your current corporate clients go, it sounds as though you have a roster of people already that you've been working with, that you're clearly able to go back to. So you're not having to resell them.
Okay.
So it's no need to have to send them. I mean, again, you can't. There's nothing saying you can't have two separate websites. And if that's what it comes down to, I'm not sure if that's the 100% right choice for you, but it sounds like your corporate people are already, you have that Rolodex. So
yeah,
you're not having to sell them. You can just call them up and let them know you're available and go get that gig, you know, and still, be, you know, because, I mean, listen, we all have different sides of us that we, you know, that we love to experience, that we love to express. By no means am I suggesting for any of you that you cut off a side of yourself to do something else. You can be passionate equally about two different things. But if the agricultural photography, is this a new market for you? Have you gotten clients in this already? How are you getting people?
Well, I have had clients, but I think it all started out with just storytelling. You know, the way that I shoot photos, and just it was very photojournalistic, and it was at a time when things were really, very lit and everything was in focus, is when I kind of came out with this, and the craftsmanship that came across in my photography is what attracted these people. But I guess the whole story is like, do I just have to keep changing my angle? I mean, it's, you know, I've had this for, you know, 20 years, this kind of, you know, story about myself, and now, you know, with multimedia and with just, you know, pictures everywhere you turn, seems like that's what I'm hearing more and more. I'm a storyteller, and this is why I like to tell stories, and here's my story, and, you know, and I guess I just, do I need to keep switching the angle up a little bit just to keep it fresh, or can I stick with this, you know, finding beauty in the ordinary, which, like, now people have bought websites off of it. I mean, it's like everywhere, and, you know, and I'm not saying that I coined it, it's just it was something that I had put out years ago when I introduced my photography. That was the first thing that came out on my photography, because, like, I understood that my story was, like, my direction was, had to be clear, but it just seems like it's being suffocated now because of the trend. And so do I need to change my trend, or can I stick with my trend?
No, you don't. Well, listen, I mean, if people are still writing invoices to you and they're hiring you, you don't change anything.
But I'm losing. I'm getting diluted, though, because I have all, you know, the same. It's like I'm competing, you know, it's like when I wouldn't say I was a forward thinker, but I was just kind of, like, different. And now that whole, you know,
right,
trend is here, it's like, okay, do I switch it up now and do I have to change that? Because, I mean, really, I'm getting diluted. You know, more people are doing it. They're doing it for less money. And, you know,
right.
you know, kids are coming out of school. You know, it's just I feel like I'm like I need to be doing something seriously drastic. Like, you know, when an artist like is tired of a style, they want to do something completely different. But then I'm kind of going against the grain of something I've developed for so many years. So,
gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
That I guess that's my question. I mean, when you want to continue to make the money you're making, but the trend is caught up and it's there and it's everywhere, and now you're kind of just flesh in the water and you're not different, should you change it up?
Well, you know, I mean, it's all a matter of experimentation. I mean, you know, you came up with what your tagline is now from somewhere years ago when you came up with that. And it came from your passion clearly for what it is that you love and that you enjoy doing. I would not just necessarily arbitrarily decide to change it up for the sake of changing it up. But again, as I said earlier, is a lot of this decision making will come from that co-partnering with those people that you already are working with. And out of all the people, because we all know there's competition, but there's some reason why they hired you. There's something about you and who you were and what you did that made them choose you over everyone else that they could have chosen. I invite you to drill deeper than just, quote unquote, a message to who you are as a person.
Okay.
And how you are connecting with the people that you're serving, because people want to work with people that they enjoy being around. Yes, they need the work done, and they need the deliverables, but they enjoy the person. They enjoy what you stand for and who you are as a person. And have you ever asked someone why they chose you, why they chose to hire you over?
No, and I'm excited to do that this week. I have two people I'm going to call.
Yeah. You'll be surprised at what they'll tell you, and I can almost guarantee you it's not what you're thinking. You know, if nothing else I can say to all of you is, honestly, your technical skill is obviously a huge factor in it, but it's not the final decision. People are really looking to connect with people that they actually genuinely have a resonance with. I'm not saying you guys have got to go out and be bosom buddies and go out and curl each other's hair or go out for a Cosmos on Friday, but you definitely want to be with people. Want to be with people that they can, number one, trust, and that they're going to do what they say they're going to do, and go beyond their expectation. You know, in the context of the little bit of time we have together, I would probably want to go even deeper with you with this to find out if it does require a complete change of your messaging. But I would say your first step in that is to get into conversation with those two people this week and come back next week and tell me what they've said.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was
a
lot of clarity in that answer, so thank you.
Most welcome, most welcome. So I'm going to mute you again, and if anyone had a quick question, I'll take a couple, one more. And if not, I will move right into the last part of the exercise. Okay. So there's no questions here. Okay. I'll go to the webcast real quick, and see if there's anything there that I'm missing. Okay. All right, great. So I'm going to get right into the last part of the presentation tonight because we are running a little bit longer than I initially had planned, but we did get a late start. So what I want you to do is a couple of things. Is some of you already have contacts already that you, like I said, I just spoke with Kimberly, and she said she has contacts already to people she can call. Again, whether or not these are people that has actually hired you for what you've done before, or whether or not these are people that you potentially might want to work with, I think that the information you can get will be a lot more I'm trying to find the right word for this, but if someone's paid you for what you're doing, you're going to get a lot more, I think, useful information because you've actually done business together. If you have not done business with someone, it all could be kind of speculative based on if they might would have hired you or what have you. In either case, if no one has hired you to do what it is that you do, I don't want you to not do this exercise this week. So what I've done here is I've actually, I'm going to post this in the member area tonight. I've given you four conversation starter templates, and these are just emails. It can be an email invitation, it can be a physical letter, it can be a social media contact, or even a video contact. But what you want to do here is you want to start reaching out to people in as many different forms as possible just to get the conversation started, which is why they're called conversation starter templates. So let's see. I think I need to move over to here so I can advance the slide. There we go. Okay. Wait 1 second. I'm kind of switching up a lot of different things here. Okay. So actually, I don't have those templates in this presentation. I'm going to have it as a separate PDF document that I'm putting into the member area. So I want you just to take a look at those templates, customize them to your needs. Feel free to use them in whatever way. These are just ways to get yourself. I just want to give you something to help jumpstart the conversation process so that you could make it easier for you to talk to somebody this week. That was my main reason why I wanted to offer you those. So, again, we'll post those into the member area of the site tonight with the replay, and you'll be able to get that. So one of the things that I also wanted to have you do or get you familiar with is on the webcast, there's a link there to download what I call a Connecting to Your Income Generation Workbook. Now, in that workbook, there are several exercises that I recommend that you do. The number one is getting really clear about your expenses and your money and what's currently coming in. So I call it your money map. There's actually four parts to this exercise, but the link should be there to download that. What you want to do in the first column there, if you have that available to you to look at right now, is you want to write down all your current expenses, everything from rent, utilities, credit cards, groceries, and so forth. And it goes into your first column. Your second column, which is grayed out, is your current money sources, what money is coming in currently, so that you can see where money is actually coming from. Is it from, freelance jobs? Is it from teaching? Is it from selling products? What are those things? You don't have to fill all of these out. You may only have one or two things in that column, but I want you to write your current money sources down so you can see where money is coming from. Of course, write down how much you're making. And then the fourth column is your total earned. So how much are you, again, basically the first column is enter your numbers, what are your bills, where's your money coming from, how much are you making, and then total that up. So that's going to go, and I give you basically the first two sheets of this template to write those things down. Again, this is all about, like the exercise before, where you're using that spreadsheet to write these things down. That's your daily money or every other day money or wherever it comes in. You can write those numbers down there. In this sheet, you can write down your expenses and your other money sources and so forth on this sheet here. So this is just a template that you can print out and replicate as you need to. In 2.2 of the target client list, I want you to write down your contact names of the people you're going to reach out to, their telephone number, and date of contact. I'd like you to stretch yourself and try to come up with 10 to 20 people. I'm not saying you have to do all 10 or 20 this week. You may only come up with 5. You may only come up with 2. But I want you to be working on expanding this list because these are the people that you want to start having conversations with that can help you to find out what the market needs, what your target market assessments are, how they're responding to you. You very well could walk away from this experience with clients. It's something, again, that I've had it happen in my own life. It's something as simple as just getting on the phone with someone. Phone and in-person is the fastest way to bring in more money. If you can list this information on this sheet, you now have a target client list that you can always refer to. So I suggest you make copies of this, and as a name pops into your mind, write it down and have it to go back to refer to, and at least 2-3 times a week, make an active point of reaching out to someone on that list. This is 2.2 area of the Income Generation Workbook, which you have a link to from the webcast, and again, this will be posted onto the page. The next part is 2.3 is current products that you sell and equipment that you own. Again, a lot of times we don't realize what we have accessible to us that we could be using to generate more income for ourselves. So I want you to list everything that you have that you think of. It can be from your computer to your printer to your camera equipment to lenses that you aren't or lenses that you have that you might not be using. It could be, again, who knows? I mean, I know someone that has like a typeset machine. Who knows? I mean, there still may be value in that. I don't know. But the point is that I want you to start listing down what you have. These are your assets. These are the things that are coming in. I mean, these are the things that you own that you can use to potentially monetize and bring in more cash flow. So current services, offerings that you have, equipment that you own. And then on the last page of this, 2.4, there is special talents that you have. Again, you may have a special talent for teaching. You may have a special talent for writing. You may have a special talent for, again, for listening to people, for empathy. Again, you know, really take a moment and ask someone close to you, a friend of yours, what do you think my special talents are beyond the thing that you currently are selling publicly? Because they may tell you a lot of stuff that you don't even think about or even realize. These are things that you can potentially monetize, you know, skills that you use to make money, other skills that you use to bring in income. In addition to that, and I'll share this one thing with you, just an experience with me recently, I posted an event page up on Facebook about a month ago for the Monetize Your Gifts Masterclass, which all of you have been gifted the access to go and join that program, or not join it, but I've gifted you that program. All of the graphics for that program, I designed all of that myself. I was basically just posted the banner and posted the event, and someone reached out to me asking me who did my graphics because they really liked them. And I contacted them back, and I said, well, I did them, and, you know, the person asked to have a conversation with me. And I ended up walking away with two consultations with them, and I made a quick $400. I wasn't posting anything about saying I'm hiring myself as a graphic designer. I don't promote myself as a graphic designer. I just do my own stuff. So the point I'm making is that you don't know where it's going to come from. And especially with social media, even if no one is commenting on your post or sharing your things, they're watching you. They're watching you. So be very forthcoming, if you will, with the things that you're working on because you don't know where it's going to come from. I wouldn't consider myself to be a food photographer per se, but I actually had someone that reached out to me about a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago, that did see some of my images on my, you know, my website, which is more location and destination type, studies, if you will. And she invited me or asked me if I'd be interested in photographing her product. Again, I've never shot food before, but I ended up doing it, and that ended up turning out to be a very lucrative project, which led to other things because I said yes and because I put my work out there. And that even led to another experience that turned out to be an over $20,000 contract. Again, I don't market myself as a food photographer. I just put my work out there. I talk more about what I love to do. Again, my story. I share my pictures. I talk about my inspiration behind that. People see what I do, and they reach out to me. It's not the cornerstone of my business. I do very few actual photography jobs, but occasionally people do approach me, and if I like them and we connect and they agree to my rate, I will occasionally take on a job. So what I'm saying is that, you know, it's multiple sources. It's going to come from a lot of different places. It's up to you to keep yourself out there in multiple ways. And again, on social media in particular, you don't know who's watching. So don't be afraid to share things, even opinions about things that you have that relate to your industry. People like someone who has a point of view. So this is, you know, again, really important. So for your homework for this week, primarily, like I said before, I'd like you to – the number one thing is to work on getting on the phone or email or however you do it start having some conversations with people about how you can better serve them, what they need, and why they hired you. Also start working on the elevator speech. Start crafting that. Just start playing with it a little bit. Start writing. You don't have to have it perfect, but just get a first draft of that script down. And then start filling out your money map and the income generation book. And again, this don't have to do this all in one day. Just kind of, this is an ongoing thing that will go beyond what we're doing today. But we're going to be pulling and going back to this in the remaining weeks of the program. So again, these are all your first step, first starter exercises. So I wanted to make sure I cover that with you before we move through. So let's see here. I think I only have a couple more slides left. So what's next? Actually, I think I might have jumped ahead a little bit here. You know, what's next is that we're going to move right into, again, getting crystal clear about the target market. I've already gone over this, but getting clear about the target market, using the exercise that I've given you for that, starting to craft your elevator speech, getting yourself in front of people, talking to people, finding out how you can better serve them, and having that information available, because I'm going to ask you that at the top of the call next week, because we're going to move right that into even deepening the relationship and finding more buyers. Okay? And so that basically, this is all your homework here, basically, just to listen to the replay. Also, please get involved in the Facebook group. I know a couple of you maybe are not on Facebook, but if you are on Facebook, I sent you all invitations for that. If you didn't receive one, please email me at Rodney@RodneyWashington, and I will send you an invitation to join the Facebook group. That group will continue past the program. So I will be still monitoring that. I will still be, you know, maybe putting things in there, what have you. Everything will go in the member area of the website. So I want you to have that there as well. I'm going to post the MP3 of tonight's session, as well as the video webinar version. I'm going to leave that actually on this site. Now, what I am going to do, I wanted to let you all know now, is that I'm going to password lock each presentation at the end of it. So it'll be basically the password is going to be module whatever number we're on. So last week was module 1, and it's going to be uppercase M. This week will be module 2. So you're going to see where it's going to be locked. So you just type in module whatever number, whatever week we're on, and it'll unlock it for you. Again, everything's going to be posted to the member area of the website, but you also will have access to it off of this, some of the documents off this page here directly. So that's basically all I have to cover with you tonight. I know it's a lot. This is a hands-on, roll up your sleeves and get busy kind of a program, but I wanted you to really get in action on things. And again, if anything of this, you know, you need additional support around, like I said, feel free to email me or put it in the Facebook group and I will address it. I will address it there as well. So with that said, what I want to do is I want to move over to the webcast or Q&A. If there's any last-minute questions you want to ask me there, I will be more than happy to address them in our last few minutes. And I'll also check onto the phone line and see if there's any questions there. Let's see. I don't see any new hands raised. If you had a last-minute question for me, hit star 2, and I will see your hand raised. I'll unmute you. And then I'm going to go back to the Q&A and see if there's any questions there. I don't see anything. So I think, basically, I think I've covered everything for tonight. Again, I appreciate you for hanging with me tonight. I know we got started late, but we had a lot to cover. So I wanted to make sure you had everything you needed. So I'm going to go back and unmute the line, and I'm going to say goodnight to all of you if there's no questions. And let's see here. Let's unmute. Okay. So with that said, everyone, I hope you have a really great evening. Again, we're going to be meeting again next week, same time, 5 p.m. We're going to move right into module number 3, where we're going to start talking about growing your list of buyers. Again, this is something that's really important. So that's why this information this week is it. So it's intense, but you're going to be able to use it as we move even further into the coming weeks. So with that said, I want to say goodnight to everyone. Thank you all for coming. And I look forward to seeing you all next week as we keep moving this train forward. So with that said, I don't know if you can hear me or not. I tried to unmute the line so you all could hear me.
Oh, but, thank you, Rodney. Good night.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks,
good night. Good night.
Appreciate it.
Good night.
I got to go and think about a lot of stuff.
Well, bring any questions you have for me, bring them to me. I this program is yours, and I want to support you any way I can. So any questions any of you have for me, please feel free to use that Facebook group or email me at Rodney@RodneyWashington.
Okay.
I need a glass of wine.
I think I'll have one, too. All right, guys. Have a good night. Thank you again. I appreciate you all.
Hey, you.